It's that time, the Betting Predators podcast, where our main objective is hunting down the best bets for you. I'm your host, Sleepy J. You guys can find me on Twitter at SleepyJ_pregame, joined here by the football gurus, football fanatics. Got Uncle Dave in the house. You guys can find him on Twitter at Dave_Esser. Also have Steve Reeder in the house. You guys can get him on Twitter as well at AvoidTheVig. You guys can always get us at TheBettingPredators.com and on the best sports betting information site on the web, pregame.com. All right, guys, here we go. NFL week number 14. Myself, Uncle Dave, Steve, we're going to go ahead. We're going to cover six games for you guys today in the NFL. We're going to start it out with an AFC East big-time matchup here. We have the Jets. We have the Buffalo Bills. Current line in this game right now, Bills laying a healthy number here. There, Uncle Dave, -9.5. Total 43.5. I'll let you go ahead and kick it off first. What do you got?
Yeah, I don't think the Bills are that easy. You know, they got the revenge thing going on from an earlier loss at New York. But you know, look back, and since week four, the Jets are 6-3, and none of their losses by more than a touchdown. Okay. Well, since week two, only two of Buffalo's wins have come by more than a touchdown. You know, and if I'm taking 9.5 points with a total of 43.5/44, I'm getting 20% of the expected points before kickoff, and that's never a bad bet. So, yes, I'm putting my faith in the New York defense. They're fourth in yards per pass allowed, fifth in yards per play allowed, so it's not just one or the other. They combine for third in NFL defensive yards per play. And, you know, since week four, that Jet defense has only given up more than 22 once, and that was last week. I think Sauce Gardner will make Diggs work. He held Jefferson to 45 yards on 7 catches last week. Offensively, I know it's Mike White, didn't look good last week, but the Jets had 200 more yards than Minnesota and held Minnesota under 300 yards. Problem was they were 1-for-6 in the red zone. Point being, they moved the ball. I mean, it's a divisional game. They always tend to be closer with their familiarity, and Buffalo not having Von Miller doesn't hurt. And Buffalo has a Saturday game next week against Miami, obviously a big game there too. And now we really need is a little bit of a slight distraction on a day, and it looks like we're going to see snow and or rain, which is the great equalizer. So I will go Jets +9.5.
All right, so Uncle Dave, going to go ahead and look at the dog with the Jets and taking the points. How about you, Steve? What do you got for that one?
I live an hour south of MetLife Stadium, so I think I should say take the Jets. I should be Mike White fever over here, but I'm not feeling that way with Mike White. I mean, he won 31-10 and you know, his first game was against Chicago without Justin Fields. Obviously, they should have won the game last week against Minnesota. They lost 27-22. He did throw for 366 yards on 57 attempts. They were +1.6 in net YPP. Those are great numbers, but both defenses were bottom third in passing. And if you watched the game, Mike White wasn't nearly as impressive as I think his numbers would suggest. They're going to a top five defense in Buffalo. It is worlds different. It's going from the minor leagues to the major leagues in this one game. So I think it's going to be a wake-up call for all those Mike White backers. You know, and Tre'Davious White's coming back, getting back into form a little bit. I expect even a better game from him. The Jets can't throw 50 times and expect to win this game. Buffalo is too good defensively. And offensively, obviously, Buffalo has the weapons. There is that concern with Sauce Gardner. He has proven to be a shutdown corner for sure. But I actually like James Cook. I know it's not a difference maker. Maybe it doesn't even impact the line, but it's just another weapon for Josh Allen. He's ran the ball, I think, just as much, if not more, than Singletary this past week. He's a threat out of the backfield in the passing game. You know, and even pivoting away from that, going to the situational advantage, Buffalo on 10 days rest, the Jets off a brutal loss, and the entire AFC East is .500 or better. Add in the revenge factor, Buffalo has literally everything to play for right now. They're going to be hyper-focused. They are the better team. I would be nervous, as Dave said, about laying those points. It's an in-division rivalry. The Jets are a top-five defense, so I am concerned about them covering double digits here, basically. So I did tease them. I would suggest teasing them. In fact, we might even get to a best bet where maybe I throw that in as a one leg of my teaser. But again, I backed the Bills in a teaser. I'd be concerned about those points. I just think it's too big of a number.
All right, well, both of you guys said it's a healthy amount of points there, and it's not like the Bills are, you know, blowing teams out this year. I actually like the under in this game. You know, we saw the Jets last week. Their field goal kicker got a workout, and I think that there's a chance he could probably get a workout again. Now, we got to go back to, you know, Mike White's probably, I guess you could say, maybe his worst career game, and that was against his Buffalo Bills last year where, you know, he went ahead. I think he threw like four interceptions in that game. Didn't turn out too well. So you got to wonder if he's, you know, maybe seeing some ghosts, you know, in this game. I think they take a very slow approach with him, and they look to go ahead and really just take the air out of the ball, keep the ball out of Josh Allen's hands. And that Jets defense is good enough, I think, to slow Josh Allen down. I mean, for as good as Allen is, he's not exactly having a great year. One of the things that he's having issues with right now is turning the ball over. And I think the Buffalo Bills actually will take a little bit of a different approach here and slow this game down as well. 44 just seems like a lot. As Uncle Dave said, you know, you got weather sometimes that rolls into Buffalo. It could be snowy, could be rainy, could be windy. Even on a nice day, I don't want any part of this over. I think we see a lot of field goals in this game. I think we see a slow approach here on both sides. So I'll go ahead. I'll back the under in that one. 44, 43 and a half. Perfectly fine with that. Let's move over to the next game here. We got the Browns. We got the Bengals. Bengals are going to be here at home. Bengals are minus six. We have a total of 47. Steve, I'll go ahead. I'll let you go on this one first. What do you got for the Browns and Bengals?
Man, I expected Watson to struggle, but that was terrible. That was brutal. 131 yards passing, QBR of 28.5. And shockingly, there was actually six players worse, according to QBR, than he was. I don't even know how that's possible. For anybody that watched that game, he missed, and he missed bad. And the only reason why he didn't throw more interceptions is because he was throwing the ball into the ground. The Browns won the game going away. Anybody that looking at that box score is going to think that the Browns dominated on their way back. But there's three defensive and special teams touchdowns in the game. That was what the separation came from. It wasn't because this Cleveland offense was firing on all cylinders. This clearly is a step up for them, and I don't think Watson's ready. He looked terrible in the preseason. He hasn't played in basically 2 years. I don't believe in him. Watching that game, I literally texted a group that I bet with, and I said, no matter what the Cincinnati opener is, we need to bet it. It's going to be too low. As soon as it popped up, Cincinnati minus four, we slammed it. It's obviously moved up from there. It's at six, and I still like Cincinnati. And that is basically just off of the fact that I don't like Cleveland. All this doesn't even touch on the Cincinnati angle. They had a monster win over KC. They're tied for the AFC North lead, so they can't afford a letdown spot if they're looking to grab that crown. Joe Burrow is back to Super Bowl form, and a lot of that is because that offensive line is kind of solidified right now, which they were not earlier in the year. Add in the revenge angle because they didn't just lose. They were embarrassed on Halloween, losing 32-13 against the same Browns team. I'm riding with Cincinnati, and I think there's a greater chance this number keeps moving up than we see buyback. So if you like Cincinnati, I grab it right now.
All right, so Steve, going to go ahead and take a look at the Bengals. You guys know how I feel about Cincinnati, like that team. I do worry, though. I mean, it's been slugfest after slugfest for this team, and their schedule doesn't lighten up at all. So it's not that I like the Browns. Like, if you know, we talked about Watson last week, I thought he would look far better. I think both you guys were kind of against me on that one. You guys were right. I thought maybe it would be enough time, you know, enough practices. But clearly, you know, especially going into Houston, like, you thought maybe he would have, you know, just at least looked half decent. But, I mean, he looked clearly like he was the worst starter in the league. For me in this one, I guess the easy way for me to go is tease the Bengals down. That's probably the way to go. I don't want to lay the points. I actually think this game is close because I do worry about the Bengals taking a little bit of a deep breath, and not just because, you know, that it's like a letdown. It's just how many games can you go through where, you know, you're gutting out wins and you're fighting. You're coming off the Chiefs. You got the Bucks on deck. I know this team needs to go ahead and rattle off wins, but, you know, at this point of the year, you know, this would have been probably clearly like, you know, letdown type of game. But the fact that they, you know, lost games earlier on in the season, the teams that they probably shouldn't have, it's really put that team up against the eight ball. So, you know, Mixon, I think Mixon's probably going to play this week. I think that'll be a big help for them. But P. Ryan stepped in and has done a nice job. Chase, I mean, he looked really good. So there's no way I would take the points here. Tease the Bengals. I think that's what I would do. What about you, Uncle Dave? What do you got?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm going to give any information to talk people into the Browns. I mean, I was spot on last week about Watson being rusty, and that game staying under. So, you know, there's one best bet I can remember that I cashed. And, you know, I think with the Bengals beating Kansas City, the instinctive thing would be to bet them again. And I would try to find a way not to, especially given that it's a division game and the fact that Watson's not in Houston. I mean, that had to be a distraction, I'm sure. I suppose the case could also be made that the Bengals are on letdown watch, but You know, I'm going to ignore that based on the fact that, as Steve said, Cleveland killed them earlier, which was actually the Bengals' last loss. I looked at their schedule going forward, and Cincinnati has a legit chance to win out. And they have a home game with Buffalo in a few weeks. So, you know, don't count them out for one or two seed there in the AFC. So I'm going with the fact that they are awake and haven't fallen off. And, you know, that loss to the Browns was their only really bad loss. They lost to Pittsburgh. And I can attribute that one to being fat and happy after winning the Super Bowl. But losing at Dallas by 3 and at Baltimore by 2, I don't think that's damning. I like them to cover this game. And they're actually plus 650 to win the AFC and plus 1,300 to win the Super Bowl. I don't think either one of those are bad bets. And you look back, the Bengals are actually 17-3 ATS in their last 20 games. And I think Sunday that turns to 18-3. So I'm with you guys. I like the Bengals.
All right, good stuff on that game. Let's jump over to the next. We got the Texans. They'll be on the road going up against the Cowboys. Cowboys laying 16.5. I see some 17s out there as well. We have a total of 45.5. Uncle Dave, I'll go ahead and let you rip and run on this one. You interested in laying this massive amount of points here with the Cowboys? What are you looking at?
Well, maybe. I mean, I can't take Houston. I mean, you know, they played hard last week against Washington, but, you know, they simply can't score. And as Steven mentioned, the box score would tell you all you really need to know. It wasn't that close. And Dallas really has no reason to bury them. They have the Jaguars next week, so they can kind of put it in cruise control, which would be the only reason I think to take Houston, and I don't think that's enough. I mean, I went back and, you know, 14 or more point favorites, I think, in the Super Bowl era are actually at 62% ATS. So, you know, then, you know, I mean, Kyle Allen has a QBR in two games of like 3.5 and 4 picks. So, and now he goes against a really good defense. And he's completed 46 passes in those two games, but for barely over 400 yards. So that's like 5 yards per. So no deep threat, and we kind of knew that anyway. But he's played in 8 games in the last 3 years for a reason. And I think it's because Dallas is going to do to Houston what they did to the Colts. But I'll take Dallas for the first half. And, you know, 16.5 maybe comes around. Anything under that, I probably would take him for the game.
All right. I would be on the opposite side. I would actually go ahead and back the Texans here.
Baldy.
I think a couple key things with this game is that, like, we know the Texans are bad, but this team doesn't get blown out. Like, yeah, they lose games by 2 scores, but you're laying 16.5, 17 points. I don't know how many games they've lost this year, you know, by more than 17. I think just one, and that might have been against, the Raiders. The Raiders put a beating on them. But besides that, I mean, this team's like they hang around. It's not like the Texans have to travel. Like, they're going right up the road. So this is kind of like a home game for them in a sense. And I like the fact that they tried Jake Allen out and they realized that he is not a help. He does more damage than he does good. So they're going to go back to Davis Mills, and I think that this gives him, you know, kind of a kick in the ass and to go out there and play motivated football and probably play rather well. I think Dallas is a little overrated, if you ask me. I think they could easily overlook this team. And I think the Texans with just one win, like if they are looking to go ahead and get the number one pick and tank the season, which I don't want to say that that's what they're trying to do. I mean, they could actually be that bad that they might not win more than one game. But if there's ever a game in which, you know, that they don't have to worry about, you know, throwing away, you know, the number one pick, well, this is one of them. Just go out there and give your best effort. You're probably still not going to beat Dallas in Dallas. Just go out there and play your best football. So I know it's tough to go ahead and take bad teams sometimes, but I feel like Dallas hasn't shown me that they're a 17-point favorite over any team in the league, especially a team that has nothing to lose, that's probably not going to end up looking to tank this week with a quarterback that's coming back that'll probably have a kick in the ass. That's, you know, this team's just right down the road. So it's tough for me to get to Dallas. And I actually like Houston here. If I can get 17, I'll take that. So that's where I'm at for that game. How about you, Steve?
Yeah, I'm in the same vein as you, Sleepy. You know, obviously I'm very high on Dallas, just like the rest of the world, and I'm very low on Houston. But I think a lot of that Dallas game, you know, it was inflated. It was a faulty final. I mean, going into the fourth quarter, it was 21-19. Dallas scored 5 touchdowns off of 4 Indianapolis turnovers in the fourth quarter alone. Dallas clearly should have won, but they were only 1.5 net YPP in the game, positive. And that's actually less than the Jets' number against the Vikings. So, granted, I'm not saying that they shouldn't have won the game. Of course, they should have won the game. But to the extent that that scoreboard shock that you see when you see that final score, I don't think it's really it's real. It's not really what the game was all about. My power ratings make the game 16.5, and that doesn't factor in Dallas potentially letting off the gas in this blowout. In fact, I might even adjust that more with this Kyle Allen bench in here. It probably is closer down than like 15 or so. Originally, I wanted to say I can't trust Houston, and I don't think you can. They're awful for a reason. They don't want to win games from an organizational standpoint. But I do think Davis Mills provides them an opportunity that Kyle Allen simply doesn't. That offense does better with Davis Mills at the helm. Getting that 17 would have been huge for me because there's nothing on my odds screen that says 17 is available. I can't take it, and I will not take 16.5 for Houston right now. If it pops back up, if the public gets involved, which I don't think they'll drive this number back up to 17, I might get interested. I do think it's too big of a number to back Dallas. Dallas knows it should be an easy win. They know that going in. They know that Houston's the worst team in the league. Of course they do. How could they not? They're one whatever in one. They're terrible. So, with that, I think it could be a letdown spot. Could they let their foot off the gas even going into this game? So I do think Houston's the only way that you can look. Unfortunately, I'm not getting that 17. And what's great about being a sports bettor is that you don't have to bet every game. The line maker has to put it up. We don't have to bet it. And this is not one I'm looking to get involved with.
One of the things with these NFC East teams is that they've had these extremely easy schedules. And that's pretty much the entire division. I mean, look at the Dallas schedule. All right, they played Minnesota and they beat them pretty good, and then they played the Eagles and they lost. But I mean, outside of the Bengals in week two and the Bucks in week one, I don't think anybody really thought that those teams were right. This Dallas schedule, it's not that difficult. I mean, yeah, they put up 54 points last week, so I guess I don't know. This line just seems like it's overinflated to me. I know a lot of people like the Dallas team, but for some reason it's just. I don't think a lot of the teams in the NFC East, outside of Philadelphia, are just as good as their records indicate. So that's just me. All right, let's jump over to the Vikings. Just mentioned them. They'll be on the road here playing in Detroit. Current line in this game, Detroit -2.5. That's not a mistake. That is a line. The Lions are favored against the 10-2 Minnesota Vikings. Lions -2.5. Total 52.5. I'll go first. I'll make this short and sweet. When it looks too good to be true, it's too good to be true. So if you want to go ahead and throw your money on the Vikings, have at it. I will not do it. If you can grow a set of nuts, then you probably should put your money on the Lions. It's really that simple. Uncle Dave, what do you think? Go ahead. Tell them what you think, because there's no way you can get me to take the Vikings getting 2.5 points. There's just no way. It's like a sucker.
I can't disagree with you. I mean, I typically don't like to follow the herd, but, I looked at the opening line, and it's basically saying, the opening line being, Vikings maybe -1.5, whatever, that this 10-2 Vikings team are 3 points better than Detroit on a neutral field. And now after everyone piled on the Lions, the number says they're even on a neutral field. I mean, that's your number two NFC seed sitting at 10-2, being power rated even with a sub-500 team. Well, the Lions defense has been playing much better. They gave up a ton of points early, but they've been respectable, and albeit not against elite offenses. But if you look at their home losses, they look even better. They lost to the Eagles by 3, to Miami by 4, to Buffalo by 3. And those are obviously teams they don't know. And earlier this year, they only lost at Minnesota by 4. And in that game, they had more total yards, they ran more plays, and they held the ball for 8 more minutes. They actually led the game 24-14 heading into the fourth quarter. So in as much as I don't want to follow the herd, I don't want to take bad numbers. So if you're making me bet this game now, because I didn't bet it earlier, I'm just taking the Lions money line. I can't take the Vikings.
All right. I think one thing too, Uncle Dave, we were just talking about Dallas. Like, this is a fishy line, right? I mean, we've all seen these lines surface throughout the year and, many sports. And you just know, don't take that side. And that was something that we probably should have alerted, many people to going back a couple podcasts ago when Dallas was going into Minnesota and Dallas was favored by 2.5 points. It was like, oh my God, you know, Dallas just lost to Green Bay. Minnesota's 10-1 on the year. They're at home and they're catching 2.5 points to a team that just got beat. It was like, how does that make any sense? Made a lot of sense. Minnesota got smoked at home 40-3. So sometimes these real fishy lines, just be careful. If it looks too good to be true, it's too good to be true. Steve, what do you got?
Well, this is tough, man. I hear what you guys are saying. And, I gave out Detroit +8 in a teaser immediately at the open. And I typically want to back the Lions when they're catching points. I am less interested in playing them as a favorite. Everybody has known. Anybody that's been following the NFL and looks at these numbers knows that Minnesota's a paper tiger. They're 10-2. They're running away with the NFC North in their last four games, though. And this is where the concern is, and this is why you see so much money coming in on Detroit here. Their net YPP, and I talk about numbers on this podcast, and they generally are very difficult to listen to, but they're a -0.7 versus Buffalo, -3.1 versus Dallas, -1.5 versus the Jets, and -2 net YPP versus New England. They were 3-1 straight up in ATS in those contests. And for the year, they're actually -0.8 YPP. This is a 10-2 team, second in the NFC, and they have a negative YPP. They're 20th in DVOA. So there's a lot of negativity from the numbers population, the analytical side of things, of people looking at these hidden numbers and not just the record. And I think I've been down on them and I've wanted to fade them, but I think the market is really recognizing that. I mean, you saw immediately this got butt right over to Detroit -2.5. And I do make Minnesota only 1 point better than an average team in my power ratings, but that's way higher than where this line's sitting right now. Detroit lost 5 in a row. But in the last 5 weeks, they've been very impressive. They won 4 of 5. Their only loss was to Buffalo by 3 points. But there's a revenge factor here as well that we got to add in. Detroit lost to Minnesota in week 3 by 4. It is a flat spot for Minnesota. They have a sizable lead in the division. They're going to make the playoffs, although they clinch it with a win this particular week. They're off an exhilarating win. What do they have to play for? Detroit has everything to play for. They have revenge, playoffs, their coach, each other. I mean, Jesus. They're a great story right now, but I just can't fathom the fact that this has moved this much and potentially still could move to 3. If there is a Minnesota +3 that pops up on the board, I will be playing it. I know that Detroit has all the love in the world. All the numbers suggest it should be Detroit. You see the steam coming in that direction, but at some point it has to be an overreaction. It's a 5-point line move in summer, or I guess 4.5, and then you're also going through 0. So what is it, 3.5? Still an enormous line move here, and if it gets to that 3, I don't know how you just don't take it, especially if you were able to grab that early number and teased it up early. I just don't understand. I think it's a huge move. I think there's a great disrespect to Minnesota here, and I think that they're going to see this in the locker room and all that stuff about being a flat spot. I think we may see them have a rallying effort and feeling disrespected here.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there, Steve. I do feel that the Vikings are a little bit disrespected. I mean, they are 10-2 on the year. They've played probably all the best defenses. They've played more than a handful of the best offenses. I mean, this team hasn't had, exactly an easy schedule. Yeah, they got bopped against, the Cowboys, and they got beat pretty good against Philadelphia, but that was Philadelphia's home opener. I don't know. I actually think, Minnesota's a good football team. I'm not sure that they're, inside the top 10, but I could see them, maybe being like a, 10th best team in the league. But I do think a lot of people are looking at stats more than anything and just completely disregarding this team. But when you're playing good football teams week after week, I mean, look at their last four games, just defenses they played. The Jets, very good. Patriots, Cowboys, Bills. I mean, tough defensive teams, and they rattled off 3 out of 4 wins. And, they played the Dolphins, good. Eagles, good. The Bills, Cowboys. Played some pretty good teams in there. So I don't think they're as bad as some people, think, but there's just no way I could take them this week. If they were favored by 2.5, I would be more inclined to take them laying 2.5 than them getting 2.5. And that might sound crazy, but I'm just telling you that when it looks too good to be true, it generally is. So want no part of them. Let's jump over to our next game here. We got the Jags. We got the Titans. Current line in this game right now, Titans -4. We have a total of 41. I haven't liked this Titans team in 2 years, and there's no reason I should like them now. Derrick Henry just has not been able to run. He was bottled up last week. I think the Jags' run defense could probably, you know, do a pretty decent number on him. Tannehill got his ass kicked against Philadelphia. I don't know how healthy he's going to be. I don't want any part of this Titans team right now. I'll take the Jags plus the 4 points. I actually think that there's a chance that they go in and they shock this team. So give me the 4 points there with the Jags. This team's, you know, they're not looking to tank anymore. You know, it's they got their quarterback. They got a running back. They got some pieces. So this team's going to go in here and try to win. And plus four for me is enough for me to go ahead and take the Jags. I just don't like this Titans team really at all. So it'd be the Jags for me plus the points there, Uncle Dave. What do you think?
I'm in agreement. You know, I look at the Titans with back-to-back losses. I mean, it's clear to me what we've kind of said all season, that Tennessee's pretty much outkicked their coverage. And, you know, with that said, Jacksonville didn't do themselves any favors in the market last week with Detroit, but that just helps us this week. I do know their defense is better than it showed up last week. And, you know, Tennessee has a three-game lead in the AFC South. And, you know, they're probably one and done in the playoffs. And yet they just fired their GM. And, you know, I suppose that could be the late follow for trading A.J. Brown and subsequently getting toasted by him last week. But bottom line, everything's not copacetic in Nashville. I mean, the Titans don't have an offense to win by margin. And zero of their seven wins have come against a team over 500. And now they're only -3.5 at home. I mean, the books are seemingly begging for Titans money. And they're not going to get mine. I mean, Dan Tennessee has to be a little bit desperate to right the ship before the playoffs and that one and done. And Jacksonville, they're playing hard for Peterson. I think most importantly, they're having fun. I mean, they don't have expectations. And you look up and down the roster, I actually think the Jaguars are the better team on both sides of the ball. And that will show up fairly soon. So I'll gladly take them with a few points.
All right. So there's Uncle Dave. We're on the same side. Could we make it 3-for-3? What do you think, Steve?
I want to back the Titans against bad teams, and I want to fade them against good teams. And the Jaguars I have as an average team. So I don't immediately jump to any side of this game. What you both have said has made a lot of sense. I can tell you personally, I'm very upset with both teams. I had Tennessee plus six, which was a loss last week. I had the Jags in the teaser, also a loss. So I really hate both of them at the moment. And I really don't have a good feel for them. I don't know if it's just feeling that way because I'm coming off the loss. So I don't have a great, I don't know, desire to go bet this game in any particular way. You know, you saw some Jaguars money come in early, held firm at 3.5. Saw some buyback today, back up to Titans -4. I make the game personally Tennessee -3. So if I had to play the game, I would be on the Jacksonville Jaguars. And a lot of that has to do with Derrick Henry not gaining 100 yards for four straight weeks. In fact, in that span, he's actually averaging 2.7 yards per carry. And anybody who's watched the Titans know that that is where their lifeblood comes from on that offensive side of the ball. Adding the fact that Treylon Burks probably isn't going to play this week. I mean, that injury was brutal. And with how careful they've been with people in the concussion protocol, I imagine that he's probably going to sit this one out. Obviously, Tennessee has that commanding lead that you mentioned in the AFC South. But Jacksonville is so Jekyll and Hyde to me. They beat a surging Raiders team and the Ravens and then lose to KC and get blown out by the Lions in alternating weeks. And I generally have no idea how that's going to play out. I lean to the under. I lean to the Jaguars. But this is not something I'm going to put my money down on.
All right. I think the one key thing to this game, the reason why the Jaguars are going to be max motivated is because I think everybody's just writing off everybody in that division that they're out of the division and the Titans are going to win. But you know, the Jaguars have to play this Titans team twice. Let's just say they can manage to go ahead and sweep them, right? Win another game or two, and maybe the Titans falter in a game or two. Who knows? You know, they could end up winning some type of tiebreaker situation or something like that. So it's impossible for me to get to Tennessee, but I wouldn't rule out the Jaguars. I'm not saying that they're going to win the division, but, you know, the fact that they still have to play the Titans twice, you know, things could get interesting. So there's no way that Jacksonville is not going to be motivated for this game. Let's go ahead. Let's jump over to our final one here. We got the Eagles, and we have Steve. We have your Giants. The Eagles are going to be favored here on the road. Eagles -7. Total 44.5. I'm going to let you go and rip a run here with this one, Steve, first. What do you got?
It's a huge game for both teams, really. I mean, Giants in particular, they squandered an opportunity last week. There's no way around it. They started the year off 6-1. They're now 0-2-1 in their last three games. They haven't really had receivers all year, but they certainly don't have it now. And what's even more alarming is that Saquon Barkley hasn't been good at all. He had a 35-carry, 152-yard performance versus Houston. And since that game, he's averaging 41 rushing yards per game at 2.8 yards per carry. So he hasn't been effective. He hasn't been himself. Anybody that's been watching this team knows that. Now, there is a silver lining. The offensive line is healthier, so maybe his production gets a little bit better in that respect. And Jones has been running the ball himself, which could open up opportunities for Saquon as well. But I have grave concerns defensively with Adoree Jackson out, right? They have cluster injuries at the cornerback position and no talent to begin with. And even more so, this last week was alarming to me in the sense that this team, Brian Daboll in particular, made his stay and started the year off hot because of his coaching decisions and coaching aggressively. This past game, by punting when they had an opportunity to put the game away, get in the field goal range, and kick a winning field goal in overtime, they decided to punt the ball away. And I think that changes the mindset of this team. We're not just going to win. We're playing not to lose now. And yeah, they stopped him on defense, and yeah, they got the ball back, and yeah, they had an attempt at a field goal at the end of the game to win it. But it wasn't the same to me. And I felt like that was an opportunity for Daboll to grab the bull by the horns, and he didn't take it. Now, that doesn't take any consideration to Philadelphia. Their weapons are all over the place. Offensively, Miles Sanders, Jalen Hurts rushing the ball, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. It's a pick-your-poison offense. And yes, the Giants can take away one side of that offense, but there's something else that can kill them. And Philadelphia can't afford to be content. They only have a two-game lean up on Dallas, and Dallas is surging right now. And this is a division rivalry against the Giants as well. Philadelphia is number two against the pass and in sacks per game, and obviously that is a concern for the Giants passing game, which hasn't begun all year anyway. The win would greatly help the Giants' playoff chances, but it doesn't change much. The biggest game for them, and this is unusual, is to look ahead after that to Washington. They tied the game, they have the Philadelphia game, but really whether or not the Giants come down to making the playoffs really is going to come down to that Washington game. It's huge. It changes everything for them. And I just don't see a path to victory for the Giants. Eagles clinch with the playoff berth. I make the game Philly -7.5. I lean at that 6.5. There's a 6.5 at Superbook right now. Really the only one that's flat on the market. So I would take that. Anything laying a touchdown or more, I'd pass.
All right, good stuff there. I'll go ahead. I'll tease the Eagles. I'll go ahead. I'll tease them with the Bengals. I'll make that my best bet for the podcast. I feel like the Eagles right now have kicked it into high gear. No, they had that down game against Washington at home, where they ended up coming up lame and losing that game, and then a tough game, on the road against the Colts. But the last two games against the Packers and Titans, the Eagles have looked really good. I don't know how you get to the Giants here. I mean, they really seem like a one-dimensional team. I know the defense is playing well, but you need to be a solid football team on both sides of the football. Special teams, coaching, everything, in order to go ahead and beat Philadelphia, even though Philly's on the road. I mean, this isn't like an environment that they're, foreign to. I mean, it's the Giants. I mean, they basically kick the shit out of the Giants more often than not. So it's tough for me to even consider the Giants here right now. I actually think this line should probably be somewhere like Philly -8, 8.5, maybe even like Philly -9. Then I think you can get some buyers here on the Giants, but I don't see many people looking to go ahead and buy the Giants here. With the 7 points. If Philly wins this game, don't forget, Minnesota's 10-2. They have a tough game this week. If Philly could win this one and maybe they end up losing another game somehow, they're still going to own that tiebreaker if Minnesota just miraculously somehow manages to win all their games. So right now Philly's saying, it's go time. We got a bye week, potentially first round bye, home playoff games at home. So they have to take care of business. They can't end up with one of those lapses, like they had against Washington. This team should probably be undefeated right now. And if they were undefeated, what would they be laying? Philadelphia is far better than the Giants right now. So give me Philly in a teaser with the Bengals. Love that one. I'll go ahead. I'll make that my best bet. Go ahead and get that down. Do a 6.5-point tease. I don't like laying 1 point with anybody in a teaser, but we'll go ahead. We'll pay the extra 6.5-point teaser for me on that one. How about you there, Uncle Dave? Let you go and close it up. Eagles, Giants, what do you got?
Yeah, I mean, this is a tough one. I think we got, I think we got two teams that are sort of trending to their mean, if you will, finally. I mean, the Eagles are playing like we thought they would. And sadly, the Giants are playing like we thought they would. But it's hard to overlook a division home rival catching a full touchdown at home for me, which it could be inflated because of what the Eagles did last week. But as I just said, that was against what I think is a terrible team, like Tennessee, that also happens to play in a terrible division. And, you know, if you look at the Eagles' two prior games, they gave up 33 to a pretty weak Packers offense and beat a pathetic Colts team by one. So I'm not gonna anoint Philadelphia as good as they are on just because of one game. I know they're good, don't get me wrong, but when I look at the Giants, you know, you throw out the Seattle game that was obviously in Seattle, travel to the West Coast, and that kind of BS game against the Lions that they maybe overlooked a little bit. You know, it's not all that bad. I mean, they covered, albeit late, against Dallas. You know, tied a decent Washington team when they were underdogs. So, in short, I do think everybody's overreacting both ways. I'm not sure the Eagles are 10 points better on a neutral field. So, if you're making me, I'm going to have to take the Giants.
All right, so Uncle Dave, going to go ahead and take a leap there with the Giants. That'll wrap up the podcast. Good stuff from everybody there. You got our best bets. You guys know where to get us on Twitter at SleepyJ_pregame, at Dave_Essler, at AvoidTheVig. You guys could always get us at TheBettingPredators.com and on the best sports betting information site on the web, Pregame.com. With that said, I'd like to wish you guys all the best of luck for NFL week number 14. Enjoy the games.